Yeah, today's message is called I Love My Church. It's not very original. They said, what do you think we should call it? So I said, let's just call it I Love My Church. I'm going to tell you a story. A couple months ago now, Sandra was volunteering over at her high school where our two boys go to high school. And she's in the office. You know, the mom's going there for that whole thing. That's the day that our sons avoid that part of the building, you know. And she's always like, why don't you come by and say hi? And they're like, no. Okay, so that day she's there and one of the moms that was volunteering with her named Cindy said, Sandra, she said, we've never met. She introduced herself. She said, we go to your church. And she said, I just have to tell you a story. And so here's the story Cindy told my wife that day. She said, some time ago, their son Matt, who's a junior at high school, goes and a friend of my older son, she said, Matt came home from school and said he wanted to go visit this church. And, you know, we were kind of involved in a church, and so we weren't so sure about that. And they started talking. He said, well, it's on Sunday afternoon. And so Matt went to this church. She didn't know anything about it. On a Sunday afternoon, came home. And I can't remember if she took him the first Sunday or not. And he came home. He said, I love it. I want to start going. And what he attended was a program we have here called Inside Out. Most of you know Inside Out. We have it at all three campuses. It's for high school students. It's at 4:30 on Sunday afternoons. And essentially, there's like teaching and music, and then they break up in small groups and discuss the things that they heard. There's about 1,000 high school students, average high school students' attendance, attend this environment on our three campuses. And there have been Sundays where we've had over 1,000 high school kids at one campus. And to make that happen on all three campuses takes about 350 volunteers, 350 people who come on Sunday afternoon, lead small groups, get things set up. They do food and drinks and all that kind of cool stuff. So anyway, that's what Matt attended. He attended Inside Out on a Sunday afternoon, came home and told his mom, I want to start going. So this went on for a few weeks. And of course, like any high school parents, they're like, wow, you know, this is good for my son. So one Sunday night, he comes home and he said, hey, mom, dad, I volunteered to start serving there. And they're like, okay. And it's on Sunday morning. And they're like, okay, which means I need you guys to drive me to church on Sunday morning. Now, the way he got involved is we have a program here for high school kids called Student Impact. And Student Impact, this is so cool, some of you know this. Student Impact is where high school students actually who go to Inside Out on Sunday afternoon, they volunteer on Sunday morning. And this is just awesome. On our three campuses, we have 650 high school students who volunteer on Sunday morning. So you'll see them in the parking lots. They work in Upstreet. They work in Wombo Land, kids stuff. The high school students who've gotten involved on Sunday morning and serve. And so he came home, Matt came home and said, I need you to start taking me to that same church on Sunday morning. Now you could imagine the hassle, okay, of driving your child. I mean, getting on the campus and parking is one thing. What if you have to get here, drop somebody off, leave, and then come back? So now they're bringing their son, their high school son, twice to church on those Sundays that he can't get a ride. And when he volunteered with Student Impact, he decided he wanted to work in Upstreet with third graders. Now, let me tell you about Upstreet. Upstreet, as you know, is our ministry, basically, for anybody who can walk well all the way up to fifth grade, or to kindergarten. It's kindergarten through fifth grade. And this is amazing. On our three campuses, we have almost, this is average. This isn't Easter. This is like average. About 3,000 kindergarten through fifth graders in Upstreet. And it takes about 1,500 volunteers on our three campuses. That's amazing. I mean, that's like a really large church. That's how many volunteers it takes on our three campuses to make it work. And as you know, if you know anything about Upstreet, again, it's all about small group. It's all about sitting in a circle. It's all about discussing a lesson. There's the fun part. I warn my friends when they say they're going to visit our church. I say, look, don't bring your kids. And they say, don't you have kids programs? I say, yeah, the problem is our kids programs are so much better than your, and I don't even know where you go to church, but our kids programs are so much better than your kids' programs that after your kids are in our kids' programs, they're not going to want to go back to your church. So I don't want to ruin your church, and I'm not being, you know, I'm just telling you, don't bring your kids here, okay? Because you may not like the preaching, but they're going to love the kids' environments. People put up with my preaching all the time because their kids want to be here, okay? So I know how that works. So anyway, so Matt now 11th grade boy, this is so awesome, decides he's going to volunteer through Student Impact in Upstreet, and he begins as a host, and then he eventually gets a group of third graders that he gets to work with some adults with and kind of dissect the lesson and the teachings of Jesus and all that stuff. Now, So now they're bringing Matt to church twice on Sunday, okay? They've never been here. So anyway, this goes on and on and on. This went on for about 6 months. 6 months, he's involved. Then their uncle, Matt's uncle Danny came to town, Daniel came to town, and he brought his daughter here to town to be a part of a cheerleading competition. And so they stayed with Matt and his family and with Cindy. And so one night over dinner, uncle, you know, his uncle's asking, Matt's uncle's saying, hey, what's going on? Tell me about what's going on. So he's talking about school and all the stuff going on. And Matt says, oh yeah, by the way, I started going to this church. And so he starts talking about Sunday night and Inside Out and, you know, third graders and all the stuff he's doing. And Uncle Danny eventually says, okay, what church is this? He's from out of town. And Matt says, well, it's North Point Community Church. And his uncle's eyes get big and he says, that's a cult. Now, a cult... Well, I don't know if you know this. A cult is a religion or sect considered to be false, unorthodox, or extremist with members, that's you, often living outside of conventional society under the direction of a charismatic leader. So anyway, now I got to let you know, that's not the first time I have heard that word associated with us, with you. It's not my fault. It's somehow you. You go out and you talk about this stuff and it's cultic and you're like raving fans and you bring up church in environments where you shouldn't bring up church and you brag about your church when you shouldn't talk about church. And so people think you're a part of a cult because who in the world would be that excited about their church unless there's something wrong? Okay, so it's not my fault people think it's a cult. They don't even know that it's your fault. So anyway, because of you, he doesn't even live here. It never met me. It's not my fault. Somehow he got the idea that we're a cult. And I can understand that because I've talked to people who think that. So anyway, so like any good mom, Matt's mom, Cindy, she's like, okay, what is my son into? Because he's been very consistent. You know, it started on a Sunday night. Now it's Sunday morning. It's like, exactly, that's what cults do, okay? And so anyway, so the next Sunday, true story, the next Sunday, you know, Matt gets up and they bring him to church, you know, to work with his third graders. But now, you know, Cindy, like any good mom, I'm not being critical at all, like any good mom, her antenna are up like, oh my gosh, okay? So, and she drives him here and there's a lot of people and they're happy and it's church and that can't be right. So anyway, so she goes home and she tells her husband, Gary. She says, Gary, I want you to come with me because we're going back and we're going to find out what that's about. So she goes home. Gary, you know, puts his paper down, whatever he's doing, his Sunday routine, and they get dressed and they come here to church to find out what their son is into. So as it turns out, they end up way out in the outer back 40 parking lot with the shuttle bus. And he dropped her off, I guess, to get on the bus to get here quick while he went and parked. So she gets on the shuttle bus, and she tells Sandra the story, and eventually I called her to hear it firsthand. She said she got on that shuttle, and it's packed full of people, and people are standing. And she said they're all smiling like they're happy to be there. And she says out loud, she says, what's going on? This is like Disney World. Everybody laughs, and she said, it's not like this at my church. And again, she, of course, is thinking, this can't be right. Okay, and so the shuttle bus gets here. Now, what she didn't know is that she had just interacted with one of our really, really, really big groups. This is our guest service groups. Our guest service groups, the volunteers. You know, when you get here on Sunday and there's cones everywhere, and you're thinking, do they just leave them out all week? Nope. About 6 o'clock, 6:30 in the morning, people show up and start getting ready for you. These are our guest service people. Our guest services. This is amazing. On our three campuses, on the average Sunday, not Easter, on the average Sunday, park over 12,000 cars. That's unbelievable. It takes about 2,200 volunteers because they don't work every Sunday. We rotate around so people can have a life. They don't have to live here. About 2,200 volunteers. And the guest service people are amazing. Not only are they out there in the wind and the sleet and the snow and the sun and their short pants and long pants and vests and parking and directing traffic and putting up with some of your bad attitudes because sometimes people in a cult can have a bad attitude, I guess, you know. there's all kinds of interesting stories because, you know, some of you guys think, you know, more than anything, more than everybody about everything. And so, okay, but anyway, they put up with that. And then our guest services meet people at the door. You know what our guest services do? They're so great. They look for people who look lost. You know, people who walk in with their kids and it's like, and they walk up and they say, can I help you? Yes. And they direct people and they walk people down the hall and they stand out here in our information areas and, you know, take care of all that. And they make sure the front rows get filled up and they work behind the scenes and they're all volunteers and it takes about 2,200 and their heart's desire is to interact with all the other departments and divisions. And here's what our guest service people know, because we've said this from the very beginning when we started the church. We've said that the sermon begins in the parking lot. That first experience, you know, when Cindy gets on the shuttle bus, it's got to be there, and somebody's got to greet, they got to get in. So anyway, so she didn't know it, but she was interacting, her and her husband were interacting with this incredible group of people that they're guest services. They help people feel welcome. So anyway, she gets in the building, finds her way into the auditorium in here, and she says she walks in and she sits down, and it's so different. And there's like a camera moving all around, and there's cameras, and there's lights, and there's a stage, and there's stuff, and there's people in black shirts walking around and doing it. And it's just way, way different. And now, as you can imagine, you know, it's like, okay, what has my son gotten himself into? And the service begins, and the lights go down, and the lights come up, and stuff starts happening, and stuff starts going up on the screen. And what she doesn't know is that she is being ministered to and guided through this service by our production team. Now, on any given Sunday on our three campuses, again, these are average numbers, about 19,000 plus adults. This isn't counting children. About 19,000 plus adults or teenagers who attend worship here attend worship on one of our three campuses, and about 345 volunteers produce the services on our three campuses for those 19,000, sometimes 21, 22,000 people who show up for worship. And this is the group that gets here really early in the morning. When I get here on Sunday morning, whenever I see production people, and they're tired of hearing me say it, I always say, thank you for getting here so early. Because when I get here early, they're here before me, and I work here, okay? They're here to make sure that the lights are on, that the cameras are right, and their goal is so cool. The people on our production team, their goal is to be invisible. Their goal is for you to never, ever be aware. They want things to work so smoothly in faders and switchers and all the stuff so that you're never, ever aware of them, so that you're completely undistracted in your worship experience. And what's so cool about our production team, too, is that some of these men and women who are on production team, they learn their trade here. They show up and say, I want to be on a production team, and I don't know a wire from a fader, from a knob, from a, you know, just put me in. I want to. And then others of our production team actually during the week are work in the world of video and audio professionally, and even though they do it 5 days a week, they come in here and say, I want to give this talent and give this skill to my local church. So again, that things can be as they should be. So Cindy sits through the service. She says it began, the music started, and she told me, she said, you know, honestly, she said, I was very guarded. She said, I looked around that room, I didn't see a crucifix, I didn't see a cross. I saw coffee, I saw short pants, I saw casual. She said it was just very, very different. And I, again, she's looking for, and I bet they're going to have Kool-Aid at the end. So anyway, she didn't say that, I just made that up. But anyway, so again, and you can totally imagine it's your kid who's been kind of pulled into this thing little bit by little bit, you know, like a cult does. And she said, you know, we got through the music. She said, I didn't participate. I was just observing. I'm not going to be pulled into this. I'm going to observe. And she said, and then the message started. And she said, it was like the message was designed for me and for us. She said, so I went home. The next Sunday, we came back. And they've been attending with their family for a little bit over a year. And she said, Andy, when I called her, I said, I'd love to share your story. And I said, do you want me to use a fake name? She said, no, this is what happened. So I said, okay, we got to use your name. So anyway, and she said this. She said, you know, there's still things about it that are different, you know. And you know, we're still, you know, there's questions that we still have. But she said, you know, it just kind of drew us in. And we love what's happening. We love what's happening in Matt's life. We love what's happening in the life of our family. Now, let me ask you a quick question. How many of you, when you think back to your first time on our campus, can relate to any part of Cindy's story? Just Yeah. So you all got sucked in. You have no clue what was going on, did you? Anyway, no, I'm just kidding. Now, here's my point in all that. I believe, and there's a bunch of people around you who believe the same thing, I believe that this should be normal for church. Now, I don't mean the style. I mean, there's hip-hop and there's traditional. I mean, I'm not talking about the style. It's not volume. I'm not talking about volume. I'm talking about excitement. I'm talking about energy. I'm talking about big. In big cities, churches should be huge. In medium-sized cities, churches should be medium-sized. And in small cities, they should still be medium-sized. I mean, the whole idea of there being an empty church, that's just kind of strange. And it's so unusual that those of us who came here for the first time or to any of our campuses, there was such a sense of, oh, and I hear this all the time in my professional world, they can't be doing the right thing. There's too many people. If they were really true to the Bible, there wouldn't be so many people. I'm like, really? Have you read the book of Acts? Like 5,000 people joined in one day. But that's because in our minds, church should be flat. Church should be not exciting. Church should be a whole lot of things. And you, not me, you have helped change that for thousands and thousands of people, not just in this city, but around this country and around the world. And not just our church, but a whole bunch of churches who realize, you know what? This should be normal. This should be normal. It should be normal for people to be excited. It should be normal for people to want to talk about it so much it feels like a cult. It should be normal. It should be normal for people to create a buzz in their community. It should be normal for people to be excited, to feel comfortable bringing up their church experience in the marketplace or in their families or wherever they are in the culture. That should be normal. And you know what? The reason several thousand volunteers, and you're here listening, several thousand volunteers do what they do, carve out time and talent and give their money in order for these things to happen, is because those volunteers understand that we're not simply parking cars, and we're not simply taking care of kids, and we're not teaching Bible stories, and we're not just having Sunday school, and we're not just, you know, trying to alleviate our guilt. We'll put a check by my name, God, because I went today. We don't think that way. They understand, and we understand, that we're creating irresistible environments for teenagers and kids and singles and married couples, irresistible environments that when people come into those environments, there's kind of an aha moment as they begin to connect with not a church and not a message and certainly not a person, but they begin to connect with the relevance of the gospel and the relevance of scripture as it relates to their everyday experience. This is why in Kid Stuff, we say what happens at home is more important than what happens at church. This is why it's true of all of us. What happens in your home is more important than what happens in church. But when churches are designed around equipping people to live and equipping people to integrate the words of Jesus into their everyday lives, how can that not be exciting? And why wouldn't there not be a lot of people? And why would people ever be embarrassed to invite someone to their local church? I know it's crazy. We really think this should be normal. You see, I think every single teenager in America should experience what Matt experiences on Sunday afternoon. I do. A few weeks ago, we had this big event, My Life, for our high school students, put them all in one room out in Forsyth County at Browns Bridge. And I'm in the balcony. I went Saturday night, sat up in the balcony with Sandra, and there's the whole floor just packed full of high school students, hearing this amazing message of purity, that purity paves the way to intimacy, that if you want intimacy later in life, you pay the price and remain pure now. I'm thinking every teenager in America needs to hear that message from Ben in a context like this. And I told Sandra, I said, if ever I get tired and if ever I get weary and if ever I get tired of raising money and trying to push get the ball down the field and all the things that happen behind the scenes, these kinds of environments just leave me so passionate that we're doing the right thing. And this is what I want to give the rest of my life to, because I think every single teenager in America, not just in our few cities, should be able to experience what Matt experiences on Sunday afternoon and Inside Out. And you know what else I think? I think every third grader deserves the opportunity to sit in a circle and learn how to take the words of Jesus and bring them into a third grader world with an adult and with a cool teenager. How awesome is that? Because it's not just somebody that reminds me of my mom or my dad, but here's somebody I want to be like, and it's not that many years away. And gosh, this isn't just mommy, daddy talk and little boy and little girl talk. Here's a teenager who's so committed to this, they're willing not to simply sit and soak, they're willing to take and leverage their extra time to pour back into third graders. Do you know how powerful that is? And you don't have this opportunity, and we can't let you do it because it would create chaos. But I have the opportunities on Sundays, Sunday after Sunday, to walk the halls, especially the Sundays I'm not preaching, and to look in on these classrooms and to see first graders and second graders and fourth graders and fifth graders and in some cases sixth graders sitting in a small group, and there with them is not just somebody that reminds them of mom and dad, but a 10th grader, an 11th grader, a senior in high school saying, yeah, and let me tell you how that works once you're a little bit older and you're a little bit further along. Do you know how powerful that is? Do you know how different your life might have been if that had been your experience? I think every single third grader and fourth grader and fifth grader should experience that. That's what I think. I think this should be normal. You know what else I think should be normal? What we experience almost every Sunday in our churches when people are baptized. I think, I can't imagine an adult being a Christian their whole life and never sitting in an auditorium and celebrating, clapping and weeping and, you know, woo-hooing sometimes to see somebody say, my life has been changed because of the words and teachings of Jesus. My life was a mess. I was moving in the wrong direction. Somebody said, you ought to go to church with me. Ah, and I went, and it was, and I don't know why I was surprised. And you know what I've been learning? I sat in a group, a circle with people in a thing called Starting Point, and we actually talked about real life. And somebody taught me how to integrate this into my life, and they followed up with me, and I felt like they really cared. I think everybody ought to have the opportunity to experience that. I think that should be normal. I think that if somebody attends a church for 5 or 6 or 7 weeks and there's no celebration of life change, they need to wonder, what the heck is wrong with this church? What we're doing, I think, should be normal. And the reason I think it should be normal is what most of us have experienced. Because when you allow the words of Jesus, and when you allow the teaching of the New Testament to wash over your entire life, your marriage, the way you raise your kids, the way you manage your money, the way you manage your relationships, your morality, your ethics, as that begins to wash over your life, and as someone teaches you and as you learn to feed yourself on how to integrate that into life, it is life-changing. That's why you want to be here. That's why I want to be here. That's why my kids serve here. That's why I'm so excited about our church. That's why I say all the time, even if I didn't work here, I promise you, we would go here. But why is that so unusual? Why shouldn't that be the norm? Why shouldn't people love to serve? And why shouldn't people love to give? And why shouldn't people, you know, be willing to wait in line in order to get in? Why shouldn't that be normal? I think it should be normal. It's what I've given my life to. It's what many of you have given your life to. It's what many of you volunteer for. It's what your hope is. It's why you bring your friends from other cities. It's why people from other cities come here to conferences and say, show us how to bring about that kind of change and that kind of revolution in our city, in our community, and in our local church. I think we should be appalled by churches that are anything other than that. In fact, let me just say something to you parents, and you can take this the right way or the wrong way, just take it. Listen, if you would like to ensure that your kids abandon church when they're older, force them to attend a church that you secretly wish you could abandon. Okay? The best way to ensure that your kids decide they're never going back to church is to force them to attend a church that you wish you didn't have to attend. And I'm not picking on any other churches. I'm just saying, good grief. Why wouldn't every church be energized around the message to the point that people want to serve and want to give and want to participate? I think this should be normal. Now, one day Jesus had just left Galilee, and he's walking along, and this is the early part of his ministry, and he's just beginning to gather the people that were following him, and he called a guy named Philip. He said, Philip, you've seen me do some things. You've heard me teach, and Philip, I want you to follow me. And he doesn't mean like follow me down the street. He means like become my follower, become a disciple. That's what a disciple is a follower or a learner. And he says, Philip, I want you to follow me. I want you to kind of give up some things you've been doing. I want you to devote this season of your life to my teaching. And Philip says, I'll do it. I've seen enough. I've heard enough. But I got a question. What's your question, Philip? I have a friend. Can I invite a friend? And Jesus says, all right, go invite a friend. So Philip goes and he finds Nathanael. He says, Nathanael, I think I have found the Messiah. And he says, Nathanael, he's asked me to follow him. And he said, I could bring a friend, and I want you to be my friend. Would you follow me as I follow Jesus? This is found in John chapter 1. And here's what Philip said. Philip found Nathanael, and he told him, We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. He says, we found the Messiah, the one that we've been, you know, as a kid, remember, you know, Nathaniel, as a kid, they said, one day a Messiah's coming. Well, we think he came, and I think I've met him, and he said I could be one of his inner circle, and he said I could bring a friend, and Nathaniel, I want you to come. And Nathaniel said, can anything good come from there? Nathaniel asked. He said, he's from Nazareth. Hey, I don't know anybody from Nazareth that I'd really want to hang out with. And are you sure it's the Messiah? Because I don't think if it's the Messiah would come from Nazareth. Have you been to Nazareth? It's not like the best area. And I love this next line. Come and see, said Philip. Just come and see. Come and see. I dare you. Nathaniel, I can't argue with you. I can't convince you. You just got to come and see. You know what? Nathaniel came to Jesus, and they had a conversation, and Nathaniel became one of the inner circle. And I love that phrase, and I love that little piece of narrative, that little piece of history, because I think in that little piece of narrative, it captures what the local church should be about. The local church should be about, you just got to come and see it. Because we are, the Bible says that the church is the body of Christ, which means the closest that anyone will ever get to being with the person of Jesus is being with the body, being with the church. That's what that means. That the best it's ever going to be in this life in terms of a physical presence is not quiet, you know, by yourself in a quiet prayer time, although that's very important. It's when you're with the body of Christ and it's functioning like it should function and it's hitting on all four or eight or 12 cylinders, when everything's going the way it should be a come and see environment. You just got to come and see this, Matt. You just got to come and see this, Cindy. You just got to come see this, you know, Bart. And you got to come and see this, Nathaniel. And you got to come and see this. I can't convince you, you know, just talking about it. You've got to come and experience it. And in coming and experiencing it, you're not going to get all your questions answered. It's not going to, quote, change your life instantaneously. But there's something so real and so dynamic and so focused and so practical. You just have to come and see. And so 15 years ago, we decided we wanted to create a whole bunch of come and see environments, not a show, but come and see environments that could be as close as we know how to make them to being in the presence of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And so all those volunteers I talked about and all those environments I talked about and the things that you experience week after week after week that we've grown accustomed to and in some cases even take for granted, those are the come and see environments that we've created primarily through volunteer leadership so that our city and our sphere of influence in our, you know, little towns and our little communities could be impacted, and so that we could have a place that we could say, that I can say, because I say it all the time, and that you say it all the time. That's why they think it's a cult. Why you could say, we just want you to come and see. I can't answer your questions. Just come and see. I know. I know it's a church. You just have to come and see. It's not a message. It's not a Sunday. It's not a person. It's the combination of all these things that as we see time after time after time through our baptism videos and the stories that come out of Starting Point and the stories that come out of Extreme and Inside Out, that's life-changing. But it's been life-changing for 2,000 years, not because of a local church, but because of the message and the power that comes from the local church. When the local church is being everything our Savior designed it to be. So that's what we do. And that's what we're going to continue to do. And in order to continue to do that, we need some of you to get involved and help. Our ministry cycle runs from fall to fall. Every fall, we kind of launch into a new season of ministry. So our season's a bit like the school season, except we run through the summer. So it's fall to fall. And so every fall, as we launch new, or not new, as we relaunch environments and as we gear up for another season together, we take hundreds of new volunteers and we put them into the system. But because we believe the way we do and what we do, and because we're so picky, and because we don't want to put unqualified people in there, and because we don't just fill slots, and because we don't beg people to serve and beg people to give, and because we don't want to use guilt, every spring we have a Sunday like today that we call Strategic Service Sunday, where I give you an opportunity to consider being a part of what we're going to do beginning in the fall. And the reason we do it now rather than in the fall is because you're busy people. and you need to think through your schedule. And since you're busy people and need to think through your schedule, we want to give you time to do that, and we want to take the time we need to train you and to prepare you and to find a slot where you can thrive and where you can say, you know what, I wasn't sure I had time for that, and I wasn't sure how well that was going to go, but oh my gosh, I love what I do. And this is why whenever I walk up to somebody with a name tag on or a red shirt on who serves here, and I say, thank you for serving, thank you for being a part, 100% of the time I hear, you don't need to thank me, I love this. You don't need to thank me, I love this. You don't need to thank me, I absolutely love this. A couple of years ago when we hit a big financial bump in our culture and our economy, and we decided that we had to just really reduce our expenses, and one of the things we decided to do for a year was to reduce what we do for our volunteers in terms of thank yous, and sometimes we do gift cards and just, hey, thank you, thank you, thank you. And the overwhelming response from our volunteers on all three campuses was, you don't need to buy us gift cards. You don't need to keep doing all that stuff. We love what we do. And we want to get several hundred of you involved in ministry in a place where you will love what you do. And it's absolutely critical to our success, and it's critical to us being able to continue to create irresistible environments. So let me tell you what those opportunities are. And before we look at them here at this time, I want to invite Lane and Jeff up and give you guys an opportunity to talk directly to your audiences and tell them what the needs are on those two other campuses. Okay, back to us. Now, and when you came today, I want you to pull out your little strategic, well, we're all over the place. It's exciting, isn't it? You wouldn't want them all to come here if you think we have a parking problem now. Strategic, if you got a little card, I want you to pull this out. Even if this is your first time, even if you don't even like us, we don't want everybody to get this out, okay? Even if you're already wearing a red shirt and name tag and you're in, okay? These are the areas of critical need. Now, when I say critical need, I don't mean the world ends if you don't do this. I really don't want anyone to serve because you feel guilty. This is a no guilt zone, okay? I want you to serve because you're inspired. And for those of you who've been coming for a while and you enjoy it and you appreciate it, but you've never engaged officially on one of our strategic service teams, here are the areas where we need you the most. And if you'll just, I'll explain how this works. It's pretty simple. But if you'll turn to look at the strategic service selection form, here are the areas where we have specific needs. Wombaland, you see that? Upstreet, Guest Services, Extreme, Inside Out, Deaf Ministry, Oasis, Intimate Encounters. Up at the top in Wombaland, Wombaland is birth through kindergarten. We need about 200, actually a few more, but we need 200. We need 200 more trained people beginning in the fall. And what we want you to do as I go through these is we want you to put a 1 in your number one choice of service and a 2 in your second choice. And you can put your 1 and your 2 in the same category. So if you look at Wombaland and say, well, you know what? I don't know that I want to lead a small group, but I'll be a coach, so that's 1. And I'll be a host team person, Wombaland, that'd be a number 2. So we need a 1 and a 2. Wombaland Upstreet, as I said before, is kindergarten through 5th grade. We need 250 new trained people in the fall to continue to do what we do here. And as we anticipate growth, we always have a big bump in the fall. 250 people there. Guest services, that's that group that does all the cool stuff in the hallways and the parking lots. And some of you have winning personalities, you know. Your spouse probably doesn't because opposites attract, but you do. So we'll put your non-winning personality. I'm just kidding. We want you to serve as a couple or as a family. We have family. Fathers and sons that do this together, but we need about 250 more people as we head into the fall and guest services. Extreme is our middle school ministry that meets on Sunday morning, okay? On Sunday morning, Extreme is middle school. This is where my wife has volunteered for years and years. We need 120 people that will help either small group leaders or to help host kids and shuffle kids around and move kids around. It's a good way to kind of introduce yourself in a middle school. Inside Out is the afternoon program with high school students. If you're in a stage of life where you could give your Sunday afternoons either to help with food or to lead a small group or to host or specifically what they're looking for is small group leaders. That's Inside Out. Our deaf ministry speaks for itself, no pun intended. It's our wonderful opportunity that we have on Sunday mornings directly to create an environment or to help create an environment within an environment for our deaf folks. And so if you sign and you've been a part of this church, you're going, wow, that's a specialty skill. We would love to know that you are able to do that either on an ongoing basis or even to just have you on a list for those Sundays or those times when we need somebody in a specific environment to do that. Oasis is divorce recovery. If you have been through divorce and you feel like you've recovered and you have something to share with people who are in the middle of that, we would love to know you're out there and get you involved. And Intimate Encounters is a very, very specific small group environment for struggling married couples. This is one of the most powerful things we do. It's kind of a secret thing. We don't broadcast it because it's kind of on an as-need basis. But we're looking for some leaders, some couples who have been through kind of the valleys that marriage can often present and the difficulties that marriage presents, have come out on the other side and say, you know what, we would love to leverage our experience to help some couples not give up on marriage. We have a very specific curriculum. We will train you, and then I'm telling you, it will be the way for some of you that God leverages the pain of your past to help some other people avoid that pain. It's one of the most rewarding things you can imagine. But if you were to come to me and say, Andy, I want to help, what would you want me to do? I would say, please give special attention to Womblant and Upstreet. Those are always the areas where we have the most need, and the reason is because those are the areas where we grow the fastest. And you're saying, Andy, I'm not really into kids. That's okay. There are positions in those environments where you don't have to deal directly with kids, but over time, you're going to may fall in love with some kids. So here's the deal. If you are not currently serving on a strategic service team, you've been coming to this church long enough to where you kind of know what we're about, and you appreciate it, and you love it, and you'd say, hey, I love my church too. We really need your involvement. We don't babysit. We don't just park cars. We don't just roam up and down the hall simply being nice to people. All of these dots fit together in a strategic way to do something so unusual that we believe creates irresistible environments. And at the end of the day, we want this to be normal. And God is using us in a way, and some of you are aware of this and some of you aren't, and you shouldn't be necessarily because you're busy and you have families to raise and, you know, life to do. But God is continuing to use your involvement here and what we're doing here in this community and in communities around Atlanta to help bring about change in churches literally all over the United States and Canada and Brazil and some other countries in the world where they come and take our model and adapt it. And the thing that you can't fully appreciate, and there's no way for you to, is that when you give and when you serve here, it doesn't simply make a difference in this community. It really does make a difference in the lives of church leaders all over the place that are trying to figure out how to create churches in their community that people are so crazy about, people wonder if maybe it is a cult. So for those of you who have served consistently, I can't thank you enough. For those of you who are new and you've been thinking about it, this is your best opportunity. For those of you who've been coming 2 years or more, and you're a Christian, and you've heard me do this 2 or 3 times, and you're going, nah, you're a pretty good salesman, Andy, but I'm not falling for it. We don't do that, okay? And you don't ever plan to give in any significant way. You're never going to be a percentage giver. You're just going to put a 5 or 20 or maybe the end of the year, 100. Here comes my 100, you know, because that. But in your heart, you're never going to engage. You're not going to serve on a committee. You're not taking time off because you've already done this. You're just never, ever going to do this. You're basically just taking up space. Then here's what I would say to you. I have some great news. You can watch online at 11 o'clock every single Sunday for free for the rest of your life. And in about a year from now, you can come over here about 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon and drive across our bridge. But we need your seat. We really do. And here's what, I'm not trying to be facetious. Here's the deal. Those volunteers that those numbers, you know, all those numbers represent real people. The reason those volunteers get here at 6 a.m. in some cases and stay late in the afternoon and apply their skills to helping children, the reason they do that is not so you can have a cool place to go to church. That is not what wakes them up in the morning. And you know what? As much as I don't love raising money, I don't mind raising money as long as I feel like we're raising money in order to do something unusual and continue to further God's message in the world. I don't mind it. But I don't raise money so that you have a cool place to go to church and so that you can enjoy the show. That's of no interest to me. So if you sit through a presentation like this and your heart isn't stirred, and if you're here for the first time, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking about you've been here for a couple years. You've been through 2 or 3 ministry cycles and you're like, we don't do this. We sit in the same seat every week and I save a seat for my family and and we kind of give a tip, but we need your seat. Now, I'm not trying to run anybody off. I'm trying to draw you in. So if that kind of applies to you, instead of leaving, would you pull that card out that you've already discarded or stuck in the chair in front of you or decided to leave on the floor for the next service because you're not doing it? Would you pick it back up? And would you prayerfully consider how you could get involved in the life, not just of a local church, there's plenty of churches, but in the life of a local church that is as committed as we know how to be to making this normal here and everywhere else God allows us to have influence. Because we think what we experience every single week on our campuses should be the normal experience for children, middle schoolers, high schoolers, single adults, newlyweds, people who've been married a long time, married couples, and seniors. And we need your help if we're going to continue to do that. So I want you to fill that card out if you haven't already. On your way out, we're going to collect those. If you don't feel like you can fill it out right now and you need to take it with you, take it with you, but bring it back or mail it back. We're going to contact you. We're going to train you. And you know what? Some of you, we're going to say, you know what? You check these two, but we really think you might be better over here. We want to help you find a place of service beginning in the fall that will continue to help us do what we believe God has called us to do. Any questions? Nope. All right. Let me pray for you and then we'll go. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Cindy, Gary, and Matt and their family. Thank you for them allowing me to tell their story. Thank you for the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people who volunteer and give their time and love it. Thank you for the thousands of people who give to this church, who are percentage givers, who are tithers. In some cases, they give sacrificially. They don't get put off by the bigness and they don't get caught up in, well, do they need my money? They just understand that the mission requires that it be funded. Thank you for their generosity. And Father, please, 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 none of us who've been here for very long want to wake up one day and realize we're just having church, just doing church, just going through the motions. That's not what you're about. We don't want to be about that. So help us to guard the vision you've given us, to create churches that unchurched people love to attend. I pray that we would be backlogged with people who need and want to be baptized. I pray that we would have so many volunteers that we would that our challenge wouldn't be finding them. Our challenge would be finding them the appropriate place to serve. And Father, I pray that you would continue to bless our churches financially and that we would have more than what we need to do what needs to be done in our community and all around the world. I pray that you continue to lead me and lead our staff and these incredible people who sit here Sunday after Sunday and don't just soak it up, but look for ways to leverage it at work, at home, and in their community. And we just thank you for what you've done. Look forward to what you'll do in the future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.